listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and
Good
Dr.
evening
Vicky
and
Hunter.
Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 17th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicky Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
As always, I'm glad to have you. And as always, we're glad to have you joining us in the live chat. Appreciate your contributions. I know I look forward to it every week catching up with you, and thank you. Thank you to those joining us in the archives as well. We know it's a busy week out there for a lot of people. We appreciate you taking the time to catch up with us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, we're going to be getting into one of my favorite subjects, and that's history, and that's going back in time. We're going to be talking about the ancients. You know, what can they teach us? Specifically about metaphysics, about understanding life, especially from a time of our ancestors where life and death were much more interrelated on a daily basis for the people that came before us. We live in most places in the world in a much safer time, a time where it's much, you're not as likely to see death in a visceral way anymore. And, you know, you look back and our ancestors had a very close connection with the cycle of life. And, you know, from that comes an immense amount of wisdom. So when we were talking about this, you know, Dr. Vicky, you said that this is my baby, so I'm going to lead it tonight. But here's the trick. I'm going to ask some questions, but I'm going to throw it back to you sometimes, too. So I'm drawing you in.
Well, I was just having a chuckle for a moment there because you were talking about, what time is safe to live in. I just had this picture of dinosaurs and stuff and thinking, I don't know, that would have been a life or death kind of time too, you know.
But well, for
so just to be clear, we're talking about the ancients, not just ancient aliens, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
So we're going to touch on that because
that's just good fun.
A lot of interesting stuff there too. We could probably have like 6 programs on this,
but really
So I'm totally with you that you're taking the lead
because that's your idea.
You love history so much, but how is it that we have not yet really learned from our past? That's what I want to know.
Well, the thing is, in a lot of ways, we have learned from our past. We have, and we've adapted. That's why we have some of the more complex social structures that we have today, and the other thing is, a lot of times things just don't go as fast as we would like. When I'm thinking about tonight's topic, I'm thinking about going back to theorizing about what the prehistory human beings thought about the world around them. How did they perceive their relation with the natural world? we know of the gods from the ancient time, from, you know, Sumeria and on. We know of the pantheons. We know of some of the more ancient religions that are out there today. And, you know, in this, we are going to be kind of touching on some of those ancient religions because that is, you know, fundamental to how those human beings at that time perceived the world around them. You know, thinking about these gods as very real things. And that is just a wonderful segue into ancient aliens. How does a more primitive mindset, and not to denigrate, you know, because how does a humanity that has not yet learned all of the intricate things about the natural world that we have through modern science, how do they interpret something like a being like that coming to them?
I think you just nailed it, though, in that, you know, we're not living with natural law as our predecessors would have had to.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're kind of far removed in so many ways about what is natural and what it is to live on the earth. And, of course, the earth has changed so much. You know, mm-hmm. if you want to go back thousands of years, there was different flora, fauna, geography.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Egypt
so
was much.
The context has to be there. Yeah.
Imagine Egypt being much more lush. And in a time of written history, it was much more lush. And, you know, of course, the river basin is still fertile, just like it always has been and always will be, but it extended much further in a lot of ways. But it's just fascinating, the interconnectedness of all of this. You can look at the progression of human thought through some of these faiths and how they interpret the natural phenomena around them, how they begin to, you know, explain different things, how they think about the afterlife, and kind of reading up a little bit about this kind of subject. I was looking about ancient ideas about life, death, what it meant, where we came from, where we're going, things like that. All the questions we're tackling. And, you know, I'd always heard of the faith, and I have a hard time saying this. Dr. Vicky, I'm sure you'll know it and be able to pronounce it better than I. Zoroastrianism? Is that right?
Pretty close. I'm kind of stumped by that one too. I've read it. I don't know how to pronounce it. So,
you know, looking into that, it's kind of just really interesting and informative. The similarities that you find in this ancient faith, it's still practiced in parts of Iran now, but it's a faith from that ancient region that predates the Persians. It would have been, probably the Elamites, you know, people that were in that region originally. But it has a lot of similarities to Abrahamic religions. It has these ideas of good and evil. It has a deity called Ahura Mazda, the wise lord. It has these ideas of a type of heaven, of an underworld, of angels and demons, and all of these things kind of get incorporated. But it just goes to show you that the mystery of what came before. All of these religions didn't spring from nothing. They came from the people that were before them. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. We all take note of the people that came before us. Our ideas have shifted through time as our needs to explain the world around us have shifted based on our understanding. And the exciting thing about living in this age, we have the benefits of the material scientific world and a lot of freedom and intellectual thought across much of the world these days compared to what it used to be. So we have the ability to explore some of these metaphysical concepts with an advantage of having, you know, I am not going to claim an understanding of quantum physics, but we know that there are just these layers of science that are becoming just more and more, it delves into these concepts of the metaphysical idea. It delves into this concept of reality, talking about the multiverse. Well, what is the multiverse other than these different dimensions that the ancients have been talking about forever? Dr. Vicky, I'm hoping that you can talk a little bit about the indigenous tribes of the American continents and some of the interdimensional beings that they have in their lore, because that itself is, you know, ancient metaphysical wisdom.
Oh, and as far as I'm told, it goes back to the beginning of time that was a given, you know, to be able to, like, walk into a tree. That's what they believe the Sasquatch is. They go between the dimensions. When you're from a rooted community that lives with nature and natural law, that is just a given. It's not something you believe in. That's just fact.
And let's kind of juxtapose that with some of the European traditions. I've been, you know, on a history binge, of course. I've been reading and listening to podcasts and audiobooks about the ancient Celts, Julius Caesar's conquering of Gaul. A lot of what we know about the Celts and Celtic culture comes from Julius Caesar, so, you know, it's biased. Yeah. But it is a rich culture that is varied, and some of these traditions are, you know, the traditions of the Celts would, you know, link through the Germans, which would go up to the peoples of the north. These are essentially the same people as what we would consider the Vikings, the Nordic people of the, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th century. And these people had intricate, you know, natural traditions. They had the Druids. They are said to have potentially built things like Stonehenge, although I've heard that that is supposedly predates their culture, but, you know, we're doing this with a grain of salt, right? Because we're all looking back in time with an incomplete picture. There's tens of thousands of years of human history with no written record that we know of. Mm-hmm. So although that is at this time lost to us, it's in the dark. So what we do know is that these ancient peoples had traditions that were very similar to the indigenous American peoples, that were similar to, you know, these people that have a closer connection with the world around them or the natural world around them throughout Earth.
I think that one thing to bring up here is when we say something is, 10,000 years old, we only know it's 10,000 years old because that's the only science we have to date that. In other words, our science only reads back to 10,000 years. Now science is expanding to go back further, you know, when they're looking at different elements and aspects. So, I mean,
it's kind of like it's an educated guesstimate in a lot of ways when you read into it. I mean, obviously the scientists themselves will tell you that when they're really being, you know, in a scientific way, based on carbon dating, based on sediment layer, based on this, we think it's this. This is our best guess based on the information we got. But there's a lot of things that, you know, just kind of throw a wrench into it sometimes. I think one of the most famous examples that, you know, everybody can bring up because they've heard it somewhere because it's so amazing is like if I'm not mistaken, the gold necklace found in a piece of coal. You know, how the heck does that happen? You know, things like that.
Now that's when it gets really trippy.
Doesn't it?
It does. Before we start losing some talk here in the chat room, I wanted to bring up that Dr. Zach has said that humans have this need to explain life and death, and he believes that conjuring religion is that explanation or a culture's way of trying to explain life and death. And that's a really good point. You know, what is life and what is death? So we conjure up these other ideas, much like science conjures up explanations on a limited amount of information at hand, and it's also subjective by the view. So, you know, who is looking at what and what are they seeing? So, you know.
And it's just so... It makes you want a time machine so bad. So you can go back.
I know.
Well, first off, you need to learn how to communicate with them. But
I think what you're saying is really resonating with partly what I get from this too is that we don't know as much as we like to believe we do because we have this because we're considering the last 2,000 years, we think we're pretty clever right now. You know, we think we're pretty intellectual, intelligent, you know, evolving, progressive. Look at our culture and, you know, we have all this cool stuff when, you know, my great-grandmother didn't have that, but, they certainly didn't have it 1,500 years ago.
Yeah.
But what you're saying here is reminding us that, you know, gold and a piece of coal, you know, this is maybe just another cycle around the evolutionary trail here.
You know, who has come before? It's, you know, I was thinking the other day, is it really possible that an entire civilization akin to ours has come and gone on this earth in the billions of years that we've been here without leaving something that we would find today? And it's absolutely possible, but, you know, I wonder if, you know, you have human societies where even cities that crumble, you still have a lot of relics of us that will remain for a very long time. But it is possible in the eons of time that a lot of things have come and gone, maybe even on a smaller scale. You know, there's always the legend of Atlantis. And, you know, I have always been fascinated with the legend itself. I'm hesitant to necessarily accept some of the theories that I've heard, but it's just an utterly fascinating concept. And what I'm really also thinking about is, you know, the connection between the ancients and the stars, the ancient astronomers, a lot of these sites being relayed to the constellations being used for basically ancient observatories in a lot of ways. Of course, we had talked, I believe, about the pyramids being aligned with the Orion's belt, but as it would have looked thousands of years ago. So we know that they had a detailed and intricate understanding of the sky above us, and anybody that has been out camping in the middle of nowhere and has looked up at the sky without any of the light pollution that we have in the modern era and just seen the brilliance of the stars knows how captivating it would have been to the ancient minds. And to think about what they would have seen and how they would have tried to relay it to their descendants.
You know, Dr. Mike, who was with us last week, it was so exciting. Thank you for being here. We're going to have you back. He's saying in the chat, don't forget the ancient iron hammer that was discovered embedded in a rock approximately 500 million years old. That's crazy.
That is. I had not heard about that one. That is definitely something on my list to check into. Another fascinating just story. And is that an ancient civilization or time travel? The fun, interesting
question.
Again,
as metaphysicians, we have to be really open to these possibilities.
Well, absolutely. And there are certain things that we have to keep in mind and be grounded about. As they commonly say, be open-minded, but not so much that your brain falls out. You know, we can be open-minded to the possibilities around us, but anything is possible, but just because something is hypothetically possible doesn't necessarily mean that there's a reason to buy into it. If it doesn't have a logical basis or something, you know, going forward or anything, then, you know, and I'm just going to throw, you know, flat earthers out here. There's just no reason for it. There's just no good reason to go into it. Yes, anything's possible, but why? You know?
Oh, to get a lot of likes on YouTube and make money.
Oh, my God. But, you know, moving on, it is just a matter of understanding our place. You know, I was thinking back to the ancient times. The Romans would write derisively about the Celts. And according to the Romans, they would have a practice where if they wanted to divinate the future, they would, you know, kill a person and watch, you know, how they writhed and did this, that, and the other. And it would signify what might be coming ahead. And the Romans scoffed at this, all these primitive people and, you know, barbarism and things like that. But they also said, if you need to, you know, discern a flock of ravens and what that means, there's nobody better than the Celts to tell you the divination or something like that. So it's funny how everything is relative. The Romans would scoff at this because they look at it as primitive. But on the other hand, those Celts are really good at divinating, you know, raven flocks and what they mean about our future. So it just is all relative. You know, it is just one of those things where, yes, we look back often derisively at our ancestors, and sometimes for good measure. I'm never going to defend human sacrifice. On the other hand, there's a lot of ancient knowledge that we would do well to remember because of the intimate relationship our ancestors had with this earth.
Well, and Dr. Edward is saying in the chat, the oldest dinosaur fossil is about 243 million years old. And so he's saying to Dr. Mike, that's one old hammer.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, and again, there's been more information. Of course, maybe it's only because I'm researching it and Google now has more information accessible and the algorithms change. Mm-hmm. And so who knows? And who knows to always believe Google anyway? But
Well, if Google's not right, then I've lost so many arguments.
I know, but so more information seems to be either coming to light, more available, or talked about more of discoveries about ancient civilizations, history, the even spaceships and cave walls written, and not just relative to pyramids, et cetera, but really these obscure kinds of places and drawings that people now claim to be discovering. I thought we knew everything myself, but anyway, people are discovering more.
It's going to be impossible to know everything. I mean, we just think about all of the era of written human history. There's so much, darkness in that we don't know about so many of these cultures. There are times where people will just show up on the written record because they came from an illiterate society where it was all oral tradition. So we know nothing of them until they come into contact with the people who did write about them. And how many of those, have come and gone? What ideas did they have? How did they view the world? And, going back to some things like we talked about the oldest dinosaur bone, let's put history, tonight we're talking about humanity, which is really the last 100,000 years. And what we're talking about is really, 6 to 3,000 years ago. And maybe, 2,000 years ago is really. But anyway, the idea of the dinosaurs being, really old is true, but they weren't also they weren't the thing that was always there before the extinction. There have been many extinction level events on this earth, many phases of different life, evolving, coming to dominance, different varieties of species. The earth, 2 billion years ago would have had life on it, but it would have looked drastically different. And it is just fascinating. Obviously, it wouldn't have been necessarily the same complex life we're thinking about, but then imagine oceans and plant life and things like that, where continents don't look anything like they do today. The sun wasn't even where it is today. Our solar system looked different. All of it was different. The moon was different. I mean,
Dr. Mike has just said there's some tribes that say there was a time in the past when there was no moon. Now, that brings up a whole new topic, but absolutely true.
An artificial structure. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And who's to say? But what really makes me curious is something that, I think we don't often think about is we like to think of ourselves as kind of elitist in that we have communication technology. But if they could have a hammer 500 million years ago, could they also have communication technologies? Could they all talk to each other, one on the other side of the planet? And did they have these other mechanisms in play? So that's what I find really interesting. I know an old elder once told me that there was a time when the air was so clear that you could hear a drum beat across the planet. And it's something that, it kind of turns your head sideways because you're trying to reconcile that statement, But how could it be that came down through an oral history, but there was some kind of technology? See, we like to think we're exclusive in that department. And I'm coming to believe that we're not.
Let's not be so arrogant to think that, the only kind of development on this planet came from humans, Some form of humanity has always been here. We have not always, I do subscribe to, elements of evolution. The one thing about evolution that gets me is, what is it that gives life the drive to continue to exist? What is that spark? And you can't deny the course of evolution because we can look at the genome. We can look at the DNA. We can see how this is a little bit of this, what is a little bit of this, and how it changes over time, etc. But, just thinking about, I had just refreshed myself and, life first appeared on this planet 3.7 billion years ago. And it, in a very primitive form, and it became, that we can hypothesize or that we can reasonably discern. Take that with a huge, heaping pile of salt. But 3.7, 3.5, tomato, tomato, what would survive 2 billion years, What if it wasn't even life that originated on this planet? What if this planet was a colony planet? Let's just throw out all kinds of hypotheticals. And, you know, think about, just to give you an idea about the vastness of time, and to think about the small sliver that we've been here, even 100,000 years, and that is nothing. It is nothing. And we are today standing on the shoulders of all of those people that came before us, because even though it wasn't written down, people were exploring our reality. They were exploring the stars. They were exploring astronomy and what it meant. They could tell the coming of seasons and how to survive based on the stars. They have a deep level of knowledge and understanding about life, because it was a life or death matter. And this kept in a very non-biological way, but a very, you know, metaphysical, social awareness kind of way, evolved, growing more complex, growing deeper and deeper over time, becoming, you know, more intricate and becoming more advanced over time. And yes, we can talk about ancient aliens, talk about what kind of influence that might have had on it. How does that influence an ancient people? But in our understanding of the world, we are all standing on those that came before us, even on those that came before us prehistory. Because,
you know what go comes ahead. To mind, I'm sorry, Michael, what comes to mind in this conversation is astronauts who inevitably all say, when they've been to space and have looked at Earth from a different perspective, is their life worldview changes. And what I think that this conversation, it spurs the idea to change our worldview and our life view, you know, that everything is very temporary and yet so important. So it's that paradox again, you know, where we do stand on the shoulders of all of these ancestors that we're all connected with in that evolutionary process. And yet it's just part of an evolutionary process. And what does make us want to continue?
Mm-hmm.
That, again, that metaphysical essence, or that study to what is the spirituality of it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And, you know, and that's a perfect perfect point. It's an excellent thing to talk about for tonight's topic, because it is the natural fulfillment of all of this. You know, continuing this millennia-old journey of humanity and pushing the bounds of our awareness and understanding of life around us, continually educating ourselves about what we know, pushing the boundaries of what we know. These things that we talk about, while they are unverifiable, and so many of these things that we're trying to allude to are ineffable, you just can't put them into words sometimes, but we are trying to expand our understanding of what is possible, so that when the truth does make itself known, we are ready for it and we are ready to understand it.
If we ever know it.
We may not. I'd like to think that our descendants may, and those descendants might exist thousands of years from now. We don't know.
You know, the beauty of being my age at this point, and I know that there's a few who are joining us tonight who can appreciate this. I remember a time in my life where, you know, I'd get on horseback and I could ride for miles, go to a neighbor, you know, and go to the well, get a Big Dipper out and have, you know, pump water for myself out of a well, fresh, oh my God, fresh water. And where everything was so natural and more organic, although at that time everybody thought that was pretty cool if you had a pump on your well instead of a bucket on a rope. And you know, there was lots of things that, you know, when we got the first light bulb. So I remember life without light bulbs. I remember hauling coal, you know, I remember bringing in the wood pile. And so there was something really special about tasting that lifestyle and being a part of that, where now, and so when we talk about ancients, so this is my point, when we talk about ancients, I do have this sliver of a kind of a DNA cellular memory that resonates right away as a child, you know, of, oh, you know, I'll bet I know a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with past life memory. I'm talking this solid timeline of, I remember no electricity, no telephones, you know, and neighbors had to stop by. And some, most people back then actually had a truck that made a lot of noise, and could only go 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But there were people who still had wagons and, you know, pulled by horses. So
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just was starting to think out loud. I need to talk to somebody that, well, even you, that I need to know somebody that has a past life experience from the ancient world. You know, we look back on the time of Assyria, Babylon. We look at the time of the Elamites who came before the Medes, who came before the Persians. We look back at that time of the Egyptians who were always there. And, which is another weird thing. The Egyptians have just always been there. But, it is just one of those things we look back and.
Well, there is that young man, and I know his name escapes me. He's, South American. He does talk about his memories of all of those times before.
I mean,
and so there are people who do that. We just have to read about it because I'm not so sure they're in our circle.
Well, and I wonder if is it possible that a form of nirvana exists, that if you just repeat this cycle so many times, you're eventually going to move on to a different level? Is that why in the personal experiences of people that are in a past life, you know, progression, they remember back hundreds of years ago, maybe thousands of years ago, but never. You know, we're talking 6,000 years ago. We're talking about the Assyrians having museums about people that existed 2,000 years before them that had civilizations, that had artifacts. Think about that. Think about a museum that existed 4,000 years ago that was all about the ancients to them, people that were, you know, millennia behind them. And we are starting to get to the idea of what kind of lost knowledge there is. And going to the chat, Ronaldo had asked, you know, what do we think about the concept of forgotten knowledge? Is it real? Absolutely. Dr. Mike had pointed out we have amnesia as a society regarding our past. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There is so much that has been lost. Think about the, you know, fires. Think about the burnt libraries of Alexandria. Not once, but twice. And think about all of that forgotten knowledge, lost knowledge. Think about all of the Druidic principles. They, by Druidic law, you could not write this down. So when Celtic culture was crushed and squashed out, that was just lost to time. We'll never know. We can't know. There are people that say that they know. They don't. They don't because the only thing that they can relate to is people that wrote about the Druids from secondhand information and often with bias. The Druids themselves never wrote anything down because it was forbidden. They had runes and things like that, but that was more of a religious, you know, chant. It wasn't about their true traditions. Their true traditions were held in oral tradition only. It was 20 years of apprenticeship before you could be a druid in that society. So we have to understand that we're going by, you know, a very small sliver of awareness of our past. And let's, you know, let's embrace some of the wisdom. Let's realize that some of it was, you know, out there. But let's also appreciate that we now live in this wonderful synthesis of material science and metaphysical awareness. And let's continue our education. So I guess that's really all I have to really talk about this wonderful topic. I know that I've ranted a bit and we're going a little bit long and we've kind of gotten into cards, but.
Dr. Edward has said the regression works done by Dolores Cannon and Dr. Goldberg might have, they actually wrote bodies of work that was amazing in past life stuff. But he's saying it might have had hypnotic subjects with memories from that far back. And yeah, there's a lot of documentation from that you can find. And documentation meaning their view on it, mm-hmm. you know, and their experiences, testimonials. So yeah, we could explore this for a long time, Michael. It's
I still
exciting.
Had notes on the classics, you know, from Plato's original ideas on metaphysics to, you know, Greek logic. We're going to have to.
You're just trying to show off how smart you are.
No, there's a difference between people who read about a lot of stuff and smart. I just read about a lot of stuff. But
no, I'm teasing you.
It's exciting.
That's why you do a show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I appreciate you listening to my rant. And I'd love to, you know, get into it deeper. But I'm also excited for cards, and it's that time of night.
It is that time of night. I think, if I've been keeping track, Ione.
Yep, Dr. Ione.
Yes.
All right.
So, again, for those who are new joiners in the archives, Michael is selecting one of the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, and I back that up with a tarot card, and we see what messages are there.
All right. And it's always interesting how the cards work out. So, Dr. Ione, I have number 7, self-mastery, to start us tonight. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
You know, when you have the Eight of Hearts or the Eight of Cups in support of that, just what comes to mind, Ione, is sometimes we feel like we're walking in the dark. We really don't know what's going on. And we can't get an intuition of things, except we're moving forward. And that is, and being aware and conscious of that is a part of self-mastery. And knowing when to just let things ride. In other words, we can't have answers for everything and we can't know everything in life that's occurring. It's just important sometimes to say, I have no idea what's going on in life right now, but I'm still going to get up, I'm still going to go to work, I'm still going to participate in my environment. So I'm just saying, the message here for me is just to chill. And she said that's where she's been lately, thanks to the feedback. So, I mean, I think we can all relate to that, but don't sweat it when it happens. You know, I've talked to people who really get like, why can I feel like I'm so out of touch and I don't understand? Like, chill out. It'll happen. And for the grace of age, you learn that these waves will come. And it's perfectly natural, normal. And that's a part of your own self-mastery. Just to be aware of it and be okay with it. That's what I say. So we have Dr. Mike next.
Dr. Mike, thank you again for being with us last week. Great discussion. Really enjoyed the heck out of it. And a lot of other people have too. And for you... Yeah, that's awesome. You get my favorite card, wild card number 1, Paradox.
Oh, man, drum roll.
I know. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a new set of ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
You know, Mike, I pulled the Ten of Spades and I said, ooh, what's that? And then I pulled another one, the Four of Spades. And so what this is telling me in Paradox, while you might feel a little disappointed in something or someone, things not happening the way you'd like them to, it's kind of sometimes that space and time is good. What we think is disappointing is actually a good thing, is what I'm trying to say, and that's the paradox. And sometimes when we get really excited about things, it's like, oh, that didn't turn out so good, you know? And so equals and opposites. So I'm just saying at this particular moment in time, if you're hoping for things to, you know, happen quicker, or and I feel like someone is attached to this, you want it for them, then it's just, you know, hang on and just wait. Sometimes it's just good to, you know, sit back and watch things.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
You know, and observe.
And
so, yeah.
I think it's interesting to point out that our card keeper, Wendy, and thank you, Wendy, for everything you do, pointed out that Dr. Mike had the card Paradox on April 20th, July 20th, and we're 3 days away from August 20th.
Wow. It's
interesting, you know, little correlation there. And it's just interesting how the, just the mathematical probability comes out. But, all right. So.
Ronaldo. Welcome back, Ronaldo.
Welcome back. Thank you for your contributions in the chat. Love the ideas. And Ronaldo, for you, I have, well, excuse me, card number 1, Perfection.
I love that one.
Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and always growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Well, the Seven of Hearts, it can be both illusions and dreams. You know, it can be both the fantasies versus projecting for a reality. So perfection, in this case, is I think you've been through a time and are going through a time of discerning, you know, what's workable and what's not. What might be, you know, so it's like, oh, those things aren't working out. Let's take a different path or change the expression of something that you're doing. But I want to say in this too, sometimes that just is happening perfectly the way it should. You know, it's maybe we're supposed to do that, which I don't want to sound like a fatalist in a way, but it's finding those dreams and building those dreams again, but knowing what's really workable. Wendy says Ronaldo had this card of perfection on April 27th and again on June 8th. Interesting. So perfection. So sometimes even kaka can be a perfect thing emotionally. You know,
I like how you censored yourself there. Appreciate that.
You know, I did. I did that very well too. I might add. I think that, again, taking into consideration that bad isn't always as bad as we think it is, and because I think it's more great or better that we're moving toward. Kind of like you really, really wanted that new car, and you got turned down for the loan. Well, maybe that's good because, you know, inflation happened and you couldn't afford it anyway. You know? I don't know.
Silver lining. Seeing,
you know, so it's being sensible about that, what's realistic for one.
Just throw in this little thing. I can't remember where the story originated. I remember it being like a story that a grandfather once told, you know, in a parable. The idea of, you know, the moon man that always, you know, is something good or bad, he would always reply, maybe. And, you know, a horse ran off from his farm, and the townspeople came to him and said, "That's awful, the horse ran off. You know, what terrible news." And the man said, "Maybe." And the horse came back, and he brought 7 wild horses with him. The townspeople came back, and they said, "That's amazing. That's such wonderful news." And the man said, "Maybe." Well, his son was riding on the horse and fell off and broke his arm. And the townspeople came and said, "Oh, what a tragic result. You know, of course, those horses coming back was bad. It hurt your son." And the man said, "Maybe." Well, then the king had come by and demanded soldiers and was bringing all the young men out to fight, but his son was not able to go because he had a broken arm and was not able to fight in a devastating war. And so it just goes to show you have no idea how things are really going to work out and what kind of path we're on. But
great story, Michael. Great story.
All right.
We have Jamil next.
We do, and Jamil, I'm curious, Dr. Aon had a unique card, but we've seen a lot of patterns tonight, and I'm curious, Jamil, I have number 22, Think for Yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
I got the 4 of diamonds in support of that, 4 of pentacles. And I think that what this is indicating in the think for yourself and that 4 of diamonds together is if you think it's a good idea to be a bit miserly right now or hold your energy close to yourself, maybe not necessarily sharing information. It doesn't have to be money so much. It can be even about knowledge. It can be about information, just any kind of a dynamic that can be there too, is sometimes less is more. So fewer words might speak more greater volumes. So in thinking for yourself, don't allow yourself to be swayed. Well, you probably don't. I'm just saying. That's what the message is staying true to what you believe in and being a bit shrewd. That's where I want to go with this. So being shrewd isn't always a bad thing. It doesn't necessarily mean negative or passive-aggressive, although passive-aggressive does have its place, you know, and in behavior. So it's tell the truth, but in your own time and in your own way. So that's what I want to say.
Good advice.
And a situation coming up specifically for this. So, interesting. And he's saying he remembers having this card.
Yeah.
And what he said on July 13th. Think for yourself.
Very interesting. All right. And I believe that we have Dr. Edward next.
I see that too, yeah.
Dr. Edward, I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeking the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand what motivates, to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, I just had a flash here with the Ten of Hearts, the Ten of Cups. I get this family picture like in my head, a family reunion perhaps, or visiting family, and your insightfulness and perhaps your station in the family allows you to make it happen. So in a situation here regarding family, you're the make it happen guy. And I do see a whole gathering of people, but they're very happy. So maybe that's a celebration of some kind, but I feel like reunion. So people who haven't necessarily been together for a while. So boy, I hope that makes sense. I always feel like I'm grabbing in the dark sometimes, Michael, but okay.
All right.
I think we have Wendy next.
We do.
Edward will have to get back to us on that. So.
All right. We have a card keeper, Wendy. And Wendy, tonight I have for you number 43, expediency. Let's see. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it. You know, I really love that card, and Wendy, you'll have to tell me, I don't know if we pull that one terribly often.
I don't think so. But I have the Judgment card in the Major Arcana, in support of expediency. So it's like knowing when I always see the Judgment card as an announcement of and speaking on your own behalf and having the commanding kind of attention or, you know what I'm saying? It's like an announcement in a way, but expediency with Judgment together, it's knowing when to speak up, knowing when to act. And if your intuition or your gut tells you to do it, Wendy, just do it. Doesn't matter what other people say. If there's something that you want to make it happen, you know, you have that sense of when to do it, just do it. Because expediency says now. And of course, there's always the flip side of when not to do, be too impulsive or impetuous. But this is saying together that expediency and judgment is know when to make that action forward. By that gut feeling you have. So I think something's coming up where you can say, oh, I got to get on that right now. And it kind of, you inform other people. That's what I see. So I hope that makes sense. Hope that's working. Dr. Edward, thank you. He says in the chat, today he was texted by a female cousin whom he had not heard from in a long time. She brought him up to date about the family, especially about another cousin, who has been in a veterans nursing home for a couple of years, and glad to know that he's all right. Well, that's wonderful. And thank you for that feedback, because I feel like you're getting together. That's going to be very cool.
All right, and I believe our last card of the evening is for Dr. Kevin. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but Dr. Kevin, I have number 10, Indomitable Power of the Human Spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
The nine. So we have the Nine of Hearts, or the Nine of Cups. with the, I think you're replenishing your energy, replenishing your life in some way, Kevin. Abundance with power of the spirit. And that's what I get. I'm going to stick with that. Is you're replenishing things where you might have, tapped into your savings account, you're topping it back up. Where your energy felt low when you weren't on your game, you're taking your vitamins and you're back up on your game. So there's this, I think, this really cool, like a battery charge. So you're going to start moving and shaking. So I think that's a good thing. That's what this is telling us. You haven't given up, and that's great. So Wendy's saying that you had the indomitable power of the human spirit on 3/16 and 5/4. So back in March and May. So you're getting it again. So and this one coupled with abundance, replenishment, that's really good news for you.
It is. So, it is.
Yeah.
It's uplifting.
I like it. Thanks for the feedback. And so quick. That's awesome.
Yeah. And just thank you for everybody for joining us. Always appreciate having you. I always appreciate everything that you contribute to this experience, not only for me personally, but for everybody that has the advantage of listening later on. They benefit from your contributions as well. So I think that's everybody for cards. And
Michael, you gave, you call it a rant, but there's a lot of people in the chat that said that wasn't a rant at all. You're a really clever guy, and I am always so grateful for your input. I learn from you all the time.
Aww.
So not a rant.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that this is not on video, because you'd see me blushing. But no, I go off on a tangent sometimes on something that I'm excited about, and I roll the dice. I'll let history judge whether it was an interesting discussion or a rant. So that's not for me to say.
Interesting to you.
Anyway, it's just, hey, this has been one of my favorite topics, diving into history, and especially, I'm kicking myself because there's so many avenues to go down. I wanted to also talk about the ancient, Nordic beliefs and how they tied into history like that, because we've been talking about interdimensional things, and one of the most famous interdimensional things are fairies, elves, and the like that exist.
Oh man!
And
my
Iceland
still.
I know, and Iceland still has those laws protecting them. They build highways around specific areas that they believe to have had fairies or elves. It's fascinating.
Yes. I love that. And so, it wouldn't hurt my feelings to talk about that, because that's my world. That's my whole gig.
Yeah.
My kids, grandkids know that. But we can maybe do another part of going into the ancient aliens specifically. How's that?
Sure. Yeah. We kind of
do that.
Yeah, we had a bit of a UFO. We had a bit of history now. We're going to do a little bit of UFO history.
Yeah, let's go there.
All right.
Because I found some pretty cool stuff recently, and it's not just about things like the Anunnaki and, what's popular, but there really are some cool references now being made, and again, more available on Google. So, thank God. See, in my day, we actually had to have conversations with people and then had to write letters to people to find out things or go to a library.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Although I have to say, I miss the library. I mean, I have one. There's like a couple in my local area. I haven't been there in years. I need to go just to see what it looks like these days.
Fun. Is fun. Well, so for everybody out there, stay safe. Look after yourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Know when to move forward. Know when to step back.
You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to...
I love that saying.
Well, thank you, everyone. I really enjoyed this. I'm looking forward to next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Now I have that song in my head.
And you're all welcome for that. Good night.